Problem FM. Big John at breakfast. Your music. Your life.
I just looked at myself and I didn't have no idea what had happened. I looked around and I saw my arm in a pot. I saw the life support machine. I had the oxygen mask on. And I remember seeing my dad looking over me crying. And I was just like thinking, why am I here? What have I done? Am I in Spain? Am I in England? What the hell have I done? I've never broken a bone before. It kept happening. I'd go back to sleep and I'd wake up and I'd have to think about where I was again. Although this time, the second time it happened, it was 3 o'clock in the morning and there was nobody there. I was on my own. And I remember crying and thinking, I have no mobile phone on me, I have no parents, nothing around me. And,
you knew you were in a hospital bed?
I knew I was in a hospital bed, but again, I didn't know what had happened. That time when I woke up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, the nurse had just came over and she didn't really speak English. I was obviously crying, getting in a state, and she just came and put a needle in me and that was it. Then I was asleep again.
Oh my God. This is awful. This is like a horror film. They put a needle in your arm, you went back to sleep again. Oh my God. So what kind of pain were you feeling immediately when that first time you came around? Could you feel pain?
They were quite efficient with the pain relief there. They would. I was obviously on a drip, so it was going through into the drip, and then that was it. And they'd come and change that every 3 or 4 hours. So I wasn't really in pain. The most pain I got was sick from the morphine that I was taking. I was sick quite a lot.
Yeah.
All these ideas in my head, all these thoughts, like, am I going to walk again? Am I going to be able to have children again? How long am I going to be in Spain for? How long am I going to be in hospital for?
So you were terrified at first, and you thought, am I going to live?
Yeah, when you're like plugged into a life support machine and you've got an oxygen mask on, you know it's pretty serious. And you know, I've never done anything so tragic ever, so it was just a bit just crazy.
And seeing your dad crying in front of you, your first memory. Dads don't cry.
No, I've never seen him cry before. Never seen him cry. He was looking over me and like smiling and then crying, and I was thinking, why is he crying? What have I done?
Why was he smiling?
Cuz I think he was just so relieved that I'd just woken up, and I was like looking at him, and he was able to talk to me. And they kept coming to there was intensive care the whole time. They never knew when I was going to wake up. So because I did wake up, I think he was just so relieved. And then Mum was there, and you know what Mum was like? She's crying her eyes out as well.
So let's rewind a week. You're getting ready for an amazing weekend in the Costa del Sol, and you're packing your bags, and it's all going on. Who was going? Why were you going? What was going on?
We've got quite a big family. There's lots of women. And there's two 40th birthdays, so my mum's cousin and my mum, so we thought we'd all go away in the sun, have a break from children and work, and just have a nice weekend away. It wasn't like a normal girls' holiday where you go and you binge drinking, you just don't even sunbathe. We went to relax. I booked onto that holiday like a last minute. I wasn't even going to go. The week before, I went shopping, bought all these nice clothes, and I remember we were on a FaceTime call to one of my mum's friends, and I was trying all my clothes on, and she was looking at me, and she all these nice outfits that I had that I didn't even get to wear. And then obviously when you go there, and I remember taking pictures of the day when we were just sunbathing, and I was speaking to my friends, and they were like, oh, it looks so nice where you were, because it was really nice where we were staying. And then obviously the next day I woke up, it wasn't a nice view. I still look back now and I think, has it really happened to me? We'd gone for a meal, and you know, as when you have a meal, you get a glass of wine with your meal. I literally ate my meal and I was sipping on this glass of wine. And I was thinking, I don't feel good. You know, when you feel a bit virusy and you feel a bit hot and cold at the same time. I was lobster red, been sunbathing all day, and I'd not been applying as sun cream as regular as I should. I must have had about 2 drinks.
And so it's sunstroke?
That's what the hospital have said, that I was sunstroke. And I was that bad that I had, like, blistering on my skin.
Wow.
That's what they seem... That's what they sometimes can say, that sleepwalking is triggered by sunstroke. And there's no reason why it should have been, because when I had the reports to show that there was no drugs or alcohol in my system, that's the only thing I can think of.
So you go to bed in the hotel, and did you have your own room?
No, me and Mum shared. She had the bed, and I had a pull-out bed on it, and I just slept in the pull-out bed. The night before that, I stayed in a different apartment. I stayed with my mum's two friends, but I'm quite like a mummy's girl, and I wanted to be near my mum. So she said, "Come and stay with me tonight." So I did. And
so you'd never been in that room before.
I'd never been in that room before. I stayed in a complete different bed the night before.
And you go to sleep.
About 2:30. That's when I was found by an Irish man, who I actually know who he is now. he literally, where we were staying, there is like quite a steep hill what you have to get up, and normally taxi drivers don't drop you off at the top. They take you to the bottom, and he had to walk up, and he could see a Spanish couple running across the street towards me, and he was like, "What's going on? What's happening?" So he ran over, and they didn't speak English, so he had to do all the talking. He said, "Go and get the manager of the hotel, ring an ambulance, ring the police." He just didn't know. He didn't know at that point that I'd fallen so high. He just thought somebody has just slumped me there.
How long were you on the ground for?
It can't have been that long, because the doctors said that if they'd have found me 20 minutes later, I'd have probably been dead because I had a punctured lung. I wasn't breathing. The guy's called Ross that found me, and he got hold of my hand and he stayed with me the whole time to reassure me that I was going to be okay.
Were you conscious?
Well, I don't know. I think he said that I wasn't, and then I came around and he said to me, "Can you move?" And he said, I lifted my legs up, as I was moving them, I wasn't crying, I wasn't screaming. I just went, ow, 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 ow. And then, like, when I say there were blessings, my auntie never got, my mum's cousin, she never goes to the toilet. She got up in the night and went for a wee, and she could hear some kind of like shouting downstairs. She looked out of the window, and then my mum got up and looked out of the window, and they saw me laid there, and my mum was going, "That's not my Amy, that's not Amy, no way." And then they all looked up, and Ross shouted, "Do you know an Amy from the UK?" And mum said, "That's my Amy."
That's when they realised.
That's when they realised.
You had fallen 50 feet
yep.
out of the bathroom window onto concrete,
yep.
onto a pavement in
yep.
the middle of the night.
Yep.
And you think that you probably got up sleepwalking. Not drugs or alcohol. You weren't intoxicated. It was probably sleepwalking brought on by dehydration and sunstroke. Yeah. You have no real memory of walking into that bathroom.
I remember the night that we went out, but I don't remember. I remember getting in bed with Mum. I don't remember anything else.
So to go into that bathroom, you know, to visualise it for us, you go in, there's a toilet and a sink in there and a bath.
Oh, it's an obstacle course for me to get out of that. So I walked in. The bathroom is right at the end of the bathroom. It's quite a big bathroom. I have to climb into the bath, climb onto the windowsill, which is on the left-hand side of the bath, open the window, which is like a slidey window, and then on the outside of the window, they have like a black barrier, you yeah. know.
How big?
I don't really know, about
half a foot.
So, yeah, and then I've climbed over that. And then, obviously, as I've jumped, there could have been 1,000 ways I could have landed and died. And lucky for me, I think I landed on my bum, which is then got squashed, which is why my spine has then been squashed and that's broken. Obviously landed on my bum and my hip, that's how that broke. And I must have winded myself to get the punctured lung, and then chipped my teeth with my head obviously crashing down, and then that's how I reckon I've got a bleed on the brain.
So what was the total in the end?
I think it was just under £16,000.
Wow.
And, you know, when that donation page started, this is when I was a bit, didn't know where I was in hospital. It took about 4 days to sink in that everybody was doing it for me. And when I looked on the fourth day, I think it was about £10,000. And I literally looked at my mum and dad and I just thought, what is happening? Why are people doing this? I mean, obviously, it's an amazing thing for somebody for everybody just to come together. And even if it was just 50p, someone out there has helped me get home. And, you know, it is a stupid thing for me to not get holiday insurance, and I should have done that. But with the help that I've had, everybody's just come together and just, I sit and cry like happy tears, because without everybody, I couldn't have done this.
Why didn't you get travel insurance?
I always get travel insurance wherever I go. And you know, if I was going with my friends, I would have got travel insurance because I would have been going out and partying and getting drunk. When you're with your family, the oldest person there was in their 60s and I was the youngest one. We weren't going on holiday to get drunk every night and drink all day and be stupid. We were going to relax and have a nice holiday. And you know, when it was last minute holiday kind of thing, I just thought, I'm not going to need holiday insurance. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Did you actually have that conscious thought, I'm not going to get it, or did you just forget?
I just thought, nothing bad's going to happen to me. It was kind of too late. It wasn't too late to get it, but I had so much to do. I just didn't end up getting it, and I thought, I'll be fine. Nothing will happen to me. Mum was like, you need to get it. I'm like, no, Mum, I'll be fine.
Wow. So how many times have you, at that time when you were still out there, did you cry yourself to sleep because you didn't get travel insurance?
Every night I cried in the hospital. I think just because it was just hard for me to kind of accept that what had happened to me, and it was a stupid mistake, and for the sake of what, 20 quid, I could have just managed to save everybody the stress and just get home with the holiday insurance that I took out, and because I didn't, I had to pay for it. I'm just going to live my normal life like I did, and I think I'll just obviously be a bit more cautious now, and, you know, always get travel insurance when I go on holiday. And
I don't think you need to, do you?
I obviously don't need it.
You got your mates, be right.
No, I just need to say thank you to everybody that has donated. Thank you to everybody that has supported me and helped me. Thank you to all the nurses in the Northern General, because they kept me sane. Thank you to all the doctors that have obviously done all my surgery for me, and they're doing a fantastic job. Thank you to my family and my boyfriend, because I wouldn't have been able to do it without them.
Are you sometimes scared to go to bed that you might go sleepwalking again?
You know, funny that you say that, because two nights ago I actually laid in bed and I cried to my mum. I haven't slept on my own yet. I've tried to sleep on my own, but at 4 o'clock in the morning and I was still awake. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I was still awake.
You don't trust yourself to go to sleep?
It's not that. I just get a bit scared that if it happens, nobody's there.
What is the future then? Are you hoping to go back to work? What's the next few months going to be like?
I need to go back to work when I'm 100% right. I mean, my job's pretty hands-on, and it is up and downstairs all the time, early morning.
You work in a shoe shop, do you? Is
yeah,
right?
I work in Size. It's in Meadowhall.
Size of Meadowhall?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of jobs that I have to do throughout the day, and I can't go back until I'm fully fit to do that, because at the minute when I think to myself, 8 hours stood up for a day, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Well, it's an amazing story, and I'm so pleased to see you. And I didn't imagine that you'd actually walk in. I thought you'd at least be on crutches. A little bit disappointed in you, actually, and I don't believe a word of it, any of it. You made it all up. Amazing to talk to you, Amy. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, finally. Hallam FM. Hallam FM. Let's go! Big John at Breakfast on Hallam FM. Your music, your life.